Years ago, when I used to live up north in the what we call the North Country, around Messina, above the tree line, you know, you go to the Adirondacks and just keep going until there's no more trees. That's where we were. And it opens up in this huge plain called the St. Lawrence Valley. Of course, there's trees and all, but it's very cold. And years ago, they had an ice storm that lasted, well, the results of it lasted for months. And many people were without power for weeks on end, particularly farmers out beyond the city limits, where most farmers are anyway. So they had to come up with their own power source. Many tried to buy generators, and of course everybody was trying to buy generators, and there weren't any. So there were a lot of casualties. People lost a lot of money, a lot of livestock, and there was just a lot of things that took people who were not prepared unawares. And so it's very important to have a backup plan, because you never know when a crisis is going to hit, do you? Life is about one crisis after another sometimes. And sometimes they come in pairs, sometimes they come in triplets, you know, and it just one upon the other, you know. And I remember a situation we had with Debbie. We shared a little bit when she drowned, you know, and everything was mounting as far as financial pressure and everything else. In the midst of that, you know, I said, "Lord, give me a break." And the next day, my son breaks his arm. And, you know, and I called up my dad in the faith, and I said, "I think we've hit bottom." And he said, "No, you're only on the third floor." So, I mean, you know, life is filled with stress, and sometimes it just comes upon. And do you have a backup plan to deal with that when it comes? Because most of us are just, you know, kind of just trying to go along, and we have just enough for the day, let alone for a crisis. And when it comes, sometimes it takes us unaware, and it can be an awful experience. But I believe that God has a secret place. Come on. I believe God has a secret place, and as Francis Frangipane is often calls it, he calls it a place of immunity. Francis Frangipane, by the way, is another pastor in Iowa, and they're really going through something out there in Cedar Rapids. You know, they were basically underwater, and they have a course that they teach yearly, and they had to cancel that because so many of their people were underwater and in a crisis situation. So he really knows about crisis. But he talks about a place of immunity, a place where you literally rise above the rising waters and are, you know, like on a boat that floats you through, you know. How many of you realize that God doesn't, you know, take us out of the problem? He doesn't, you know. He's not a bridge over troubled waters, you know. I like the song, but it's not biblical. He says, "When you go through the waters, I will be with you." You go through them. When you go through the fire, not over it, not around it, you go through it. All right? You know, he was there when those three Hebrew children, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow, remember those three guys? They went through it. They went into the fire, didn't they? I mean, you know, you think they had a backup plan? I mean, here they go to the king and they said, "Lord, we're not careful to answer you. You know, whether we're going to worship your God or not. I mean, we've already figured this thing out. We have a backup plan. We're going to, you know, we're not going to worship him. I mean, that's the deal." You know, and the king got real mad. And he threw him in the fire, and boom, the Lord appeared in the midst. Isn't that interesting about grace? It only comes the moment you need it. But do you know that you can live in a bubble of grace every single day? I didn't realize, you know, how much I needed to go deeper into the grace of God until several years ago when I went through a major personal crisis. And I didn't have enough in God to take me through that time. And as a result, I began sinking like Peter. You know, I was just going through a time of emotional crisis where people would come and try to console me and all that sort of stuff. It just didn't help. I just needed to go deeper into God. And I believe that God allowed that situation to take me deeper and to find for myself that secret place. And once I got there, And even that's a work of grace, isn't it? But once I got there, I realized that I needed to maintain that place. You know, it's not something that just, automatically is there all the time. You've got to work this. In the words, you've got to respond to the Lord's call. So let's take a look at some promises. We'll go to the believer's assurance policy. Psalm 91, where it talks about this. And it's a place of immunity. It's a place where the storm can rage around you and it doesn't touch you. You go through the fire, it doesn't touch you. In fact, the smoke won't even cling to you, and the fire will burn away any bondages that have held you in the past. So you're guaranteed to go through life's crisis without it taking you out emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're talking about going through life above the circumstances rather than under them. Okay, sounds like a good promise to me. It's a backup plan. Hey, good Chris, good to see you. All right. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I really love this large print edition up here. Praise God. Keep going. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Don't mind if I personalize this. Go on. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night. How many of you were kept up by the storms last night a little bit? Yeah, they just kept rolling out. I know they had them pretty intense over in Sabinsville. We had quite a few keep coming through, and I just kind of fell asleep, and we left the computer on and the internet on, and you know, that just sort of like a lightning rod that attracts the electrical current and burns out. And we've had the computer fry several other storms ago, so our backup plan is to get there, turn everything off, unplug everything before the storm. But the storm came, and I woke up in the middle of it, and I was elected to go down and unplug everything, turn everything off. And then when I got back upstairs, I couldn't fall asleep. And I said, "Well, Lord, I guess you want to talk to me." And He did. And we had a nice little time. Then I just fell off to sleep. But it's like, it's so precious to me, the relationship I have with the Lord, the secret place that I have with the Lord, because I used to have a sleep problem. I would stay awake all night, concerned about the problems of life. Before I was saved, I just, what is it, sleep apnea, what do they call it? And I was amazed. I just heard recently that thing is just prevalent. I mean, it's huge. And more people are affected by this than we realize. And of course, you don't get the right kind of sleep, that's going to affect your health big time. And a lot of people are just sleep deprived. And as a result, that just affects them in a cascading way. How many of you realize it's the enemy's work to wear out the saints? All right. Okay. But God has a backup plan. Where are we? I shall not be afraid in the middle of the storm. It's not going to take my house out, Nor the arrow that flies by day. Could be accusations. Nor the pestilent that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a confidence. Either that person has a reality crisis or else he has something that's supernatural. You know what I mean? Life is fallen. We live in a fallen creation. It wasn't God's plan originally, but nevertheless, that's what we're left with. But God has an antidote, not an anecdote, but an antidote to our fallen state, and that is the secret place. It's so powerful if we go to Psalm 3 and 4. And this is a big one, because I feel some of you are having trouble sleeping at night. I feel some of you are struggling with having a good night's rest. And I just want to sit on this, because you need some promises. You need to know the standard that God sets for us. And here it is in Psalm 3 and 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me. He hears me out of His holy hill. Selah. That means rest. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around me. I mean, can you imagine being surrounded by all those armies that are out to take your life, and you just fall asleep and have a perfectly, you know, calm... I mean, that's supernatural. And how many of you realize it's so difficult to get a good night's rest when you're under so much stress? You know, all the problems. What's happening? You're carrying them. You're assuming them. You're carrying them. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, it means it's made just for you. Everything that He allows, He's allowed just for you. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Doesn't mean that life is easy. It means that I have a yoke that's fitted just for you. And whatever it is, whatever you're going through, it's just fit for you. Not to put you in a fit, but to fit for you, to fix you, so that you can go through that in the peace of God and come out more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. He causes us to triumph. So if you don't get a good night's sleep, you've got a challenge here. God promises you in Proverbs 3 and 24, when you lay down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Do you know what the Hebrew for sweet sleep is? It's sweet sleep. It's REM sleep. It's the deep sleep that you get where you dream. And you come up refreshed. Praise God. How many of you know the joy of a refreshing night's rest? And you get up and you just feel ready to lick 39 tigers. That is a gift from God. You know what I mean? It's a gift from God. And we have that as a provision. And it's part of having a backup plan. Okay. So let's take a look at some things here that might give us an insight. And the book of Job is one of the most amazing books, because it gives us an insight into the spiritual realm. It's a visual picture of what's going on. And if we go to the book of Job, verse 10. God and Satan are having a discussion. And Satan reveals this. He says, have you not... Well, we're still on that. Well, I know that's a good one. All right. Am I going too fast? Oh, all right. He says, has you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? How many of you realize that's a place of immunity? You have a hedge. Man, that sounds like a commercial. You have a... Okay. When God speaks, everyone listens. You have a hedge. I mean, that could be made into a little... Slump. You have a hedge with God. I mean, he's got a bubble around you, a bubble of protection and keeping grace that no demon in hell can get through. All right? And the only way they can get through it is to ask permission of God. So if anything gets through your bubble, guess who's ultimately responsible for your crisis? It's not the devil. It's the Lord. And sometimes he pokes us a little bit to get us a little deeper into that secret place. He says, I want to take you deeper into my secrets. And so you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. How many of you realize you are covered by the favor of God? So much so that years ago I heard of a backslidden pastor who was so backslidden, he was like King Saul, trying to find God in the wrong places. He went to a spiritualist convention. He's sitting in the back row, And, you know, he's dressed out. He wasn't wearing a suit. He's just, you know, he was incognito, just like a regular guy, you know. And the psychic gets up on stage and starts its mumbo jumbo and stops and he says, I can't continue until that person in the red suit leaves. Would you please leave? You do not belong here. And he pointed to that man who wasn't wearing red nor a suit. But you see, in the spirit realm, that psychic was able to see that there was a covering of the blood of Jesus about a backslidden man who'd given his life to Jesus but has just sort of stumbled on the way. How many of you realize God does not abandon us? You know, I mean, we can be backslidden, but it doesn't mean we're apostate and cut off. It just means that we're in trouble and, you know, the Lord... How many of you realize you don't fall out of grace, you fall into grace. You don't work for this. It just... Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. It comes after you. You know, you're walking down the street and it's waiting behind the corner and then it comes and takes you out. You know, you're just trying to run from God like Jonah, and he just comes and he just wakes you up by a nice dip in the pond and then a trip into the gastrointestinal system of a giant whale. And that sort of gets your juices going. And he cries out to God and fulfills his mission. And, you know, God will get you where he needs to take you because he's got his eye upon you. And even though a man falls seven times, which is a complete failure, you fall six times, you fail. But you fall seven, you're a complete failure. He says, the righteous arm of God will lift you up and sustain you. How many of you have been in a situation where you just weren't right in that secret place, or you didn't feel like you were just right in the center? You were the hot potato for God, and yet you felt God come and deliver you when you didn't deserve it. That's what grace is. It's that grace and mercy that comes when you don't deserve it. Now, you can live that way if you want. You can have a Jonah life where you go through life third-class whale. But I prefer first class on the warship of God, you know? The warship of God? Okay. That is... okay. Well, what was Job's backup plan? Well, Satan went after his family, everything he had, totally wiped him out. And what was Job's response? Just so we have that. Verse 20. And you know pretty much the story. I mean, just totally wiped out. I mean, all his kids, everything. And here's a guy who's been praying for them all the time. He's been lifting up. He's been believing God. And everything's taken away. But you know, he had a backup plan. And he arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. That's humility. You know, God loves a contrite and broken heart. A broken heart is a heart that is not heartbroken necessarily by the circumstances or by the failure of God to come through. But it's a heart of surrender that submits itself to that rock that is higher than I. David said, "The Lord, this matter is too high for me. I cannot know it." It's like the cry of the heart saying, "Lord, give me the peace that passes understanding. I can't understand. And if I try to, it takes me out of the secret place. It takes me out of that place of peace." He fell upon the ground and he worshiped. What's your backup plan when you can't sleep at night? I'll tell you what mine is. It's like I'm going to press in until I take hold of that secret place. I know I have a promise of a good night's sleep. I know I have the promise of a peace that passes understanding. I know I have a promise of a place of immunity where whatever it is that's trying to take me out, and it's usually a demonic force, people, something's messing with my hedge. And the Lord, for some reason, has allowed it. Perhaps to strengthen me. How many of you realize we're strengthened when we exercise ourselves? Oh, yeah, you know, right? And so spiritual muscles get atrophied if they're not used. So, you know, he'll allow things to occur. I mean, life just happens, you know? And so this thing of worship is that place, that backup plan that we have. Now, we have a generator out there in case the lights go out. And it's, and the purpose of a backup plan is to relieve stress in a stressful moment. So that, you know, we're not standing in the, and we've had one service where the lights went out and we had to end the service. This was years ago before we had any backup plan. And I said, you know, we need to have something in place just in case. And it's to relieve stress in a stressful time. The backup plan that we have is a worship that works. And I'll tell you something, it won't kick in if you just throw this thing into gear when the crisis hits. That's not the time to engage a worship service, although most people live this way, from crisis to crisis. You know, their tank is empty, they get slammed, they repent, they cry out like Jonah, they get spit out, and they're standing on the shores, all their clothes are eaten up by the gastric juices, and they cry out, repent. And of course, everybody sees them, and they get scared, and they repent. And, you know, it's one way to live, but there's a highway. Come on. There's a highway. You know, there's a comma. You know, I've come to give you life, comma, and life abundantly. There's a joy, comma, inexpressible. You know what I'm saying? There's a level that's higher. There's a sound system that's, the old crystal sets, you know, they used to crackle and whatever, and then you have a Bose wave radio, you know, surround sound. Woo! I mean, so you can choose your level, but the question then is okay, how often? How often should we do this? Well, Todd Bentley, you know, who's heading up this revival down in Lakeland, he swears by 3 hours a day. He says he will not get up on stage and minister until he has ministered to the Lord for 3 hours. That's a lot of praying, 3 hours. But he doesn't pray. He calls it soaking. The Bible calls it communing. What is communing with God? Jesus was such a communer, not a commuter, not a computer, but a communer, that the disciples went to him and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They didn't say teach him how to preach or how to teach. Even though they saw him do that, teach us how to do miracles. They said, teach us how to pray. They saw him in this constant state of communion. That was Jesus' backup plan. How many of you realize nothing caught him by surprise? Nothing amazing. I mean, you got to catch this. Do things catch you by surprise? Do things amaze you? Are there situations that come that stop your heart? Hello? Yeah. But Jesus never. And now realize, he was God in the flesh, but he was fully man. You know what I mean? He was just like you and I. But he found the secret of living that place of immunity in God. And for him, and what he was up against, I mean, come on, we're not fighting Satan. We just fight a few of his demons. We think we're pretty good. But he was fighting the host of hell and Satan himself. So, I mean, you know, you ever wonder why Daniel had a place of immunity 3 times a day? He was living in Iraq. You'd be increasing your time, I'm sure, if you were in Iraq right now, too. Afghanistan's even getting hotter. So, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, if you want to get into this place of immunity, you need to work it. It can't be just something that you occasionally visit. It says that Job offered up the sacrifices of God continuously. You know, how often? Well, you know, perhaps we should go back to the book of beginnings. Oh, well, I was going to talk to you about communing. Yeah, sorry, getting ahead of myself. Psalm 4 and 4. This concept of coming before God, not necessarily worshiping, not necessarily praying, but just quiet, resting. I mean, to many Christians, this is revolutionary. You mean I don't have to be chattering? I don't have to be pressing in. I don't have to be working. No, no. Communion is a place of rest in the presence of God. All right? It says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Does that sound like a lot of work? Hello? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Okay, that's what I did last night. Just be still, you know. And Lord, if you have anything you want to say further, I mean, this is a basically very simple message. I said, is this all? He said, I want you to live it. Because, you know, I was wide awake. It was like, uh-oh. And this is a problem I've had. If I'm woken up in the middle of the night, you usually can't get back to sleep. Anybody have that problem? I mean, it's just like, And then I get up tired the next day. And I realize this is below God's standard for me. There's something better that He has. So I'd like that sleep to come back. So what I've found is I just have to press in and go deeper into a communion and in the stillness of God. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And then finally, Exodus 25:22. There's more, but I just want you to get the idea. This is the promise God says. This is Old Testament. And there I will meet with thee. This is speaking of the Ark, the covenant. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and between the cherubim and the Ark of the Testimony. Of all things which I give thee in the commandment to the children of Israel. Speaking to Moses under the old covenant, saying, okay, you got to make your way into the Holy of Holies. But once you're there, I will meet with you. That's Old Testament. How many of you realize it's a better covenant that we have? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can be lying in our bed and we're before the Ark of the Covenant. And He says He will meet with us and He will commune with us. And the thing about communion is that it's not about a lot of talk. It's about a lot of listening. How many of you couples who've been married for a while, whenever you're together, always talking, chattering away, you know what I mean? Maybe some of you, you know, don't see each other through the day and you have a lot to say. But I know my wife and I, we're around a lot. And, you know, I know Russ has chattering all the time. You know, it's a million things to say, right? But you're together. You're in the car. You're on a long trip. You know? You don't have the radio on. You're just communing with one another. You know? Just resting in each other's company. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? There's a strength that comes from that. How many of you realize that you can go into a room of people that hate you? Like youth group? No. No, I kid you. And it drains you. It just sucks you dry. But you're in with those who love you, and it feeds your soul, you know? Okay, you get in the presence of God who loves you. It feeds your soul. It strengthens you in a way that is beyond what you can understand. But there's a definite deposit of something of God into your spirit. And when you leave, you glow like Moses did. And many times, If I'm negligent of my time with the Lord, for instance, sometimes I will I set aside 2 hours a day where I just get into the presence of God and just wait. But many times I fall asleep. You know, I'm just resting in God, and before I know it, time's gone by, I fell asleep. And so, you know, I'll go back in the afternoon, and I'm even more tired by then, and I fall asleep again. I just need rest. And how many of you realize that sometimes that's the most spiritual thing you can do? All right? Sometimes we're just overworked and, you know, sleep-deprived, and we need rest, and God's just given us rest. But then the Lord will wake me up in the middle of the night and says, hi, I just wanted to be with you. Missed you this afternoon, and, you know, wanted to talk with you about a few things. So I just woke you up and put you to sleep a little bit when we're done. And we just go off it. And it's fun. And I'll tell you, you know how it's God? Because when you wake up, you're refreshed. And the Lord could have kept me up for an hour and a half, but It's supernatural. You wake up refreshed. And, you know, I used to have times where I was battling this and battling that. And I began to realize, wait a moment, the battle's the Lord's. He's just called me to go into that secret place and be strengthened in His presence. And out of that, the job will get done. You know, the folks in the boat were all carried on about Jesus falling asleep, leaving them to do the whole thing. But you know, when we work, He waits. And when we wait, He works. Okay. That's a good message right there. Praise God. Well, anyhow, that's what communion's all about. Now the question is, how long? How long should I commune with God every day? Well, I think a good starting point is to go back to the book of the beginnings. There's the first mention principle. Where it's first mentioned, go there, and that kind of sets established as a key. Uh-oh, I'm getting the note. Uh-oh, I got the note.
Jessica's ride just fell through down to the Allentown Airport, so I'm it.
Talk about the crises of life. Okay, that's 3 hours down, 3 hours back on a Sunday afternoon when you should be resting. And so she's got to do the deed. Well, Lord bless her. Safe trip on the road. And, you know, what she'll do is she'll plug in some worship. And she'll just surround herself. She'll come back refreshed in the Lord. Even though she doesn't want to do this, and it's a huge thing. I mean, Allentown's 3 hours. How many of you want to just get in the car and drive 8 hours? You know, you like doing that. Bless your heart. Richard, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Praise God. I'll tell you, I get in the car after a couple hours. You know, just I start looking at the lines in the road, get hypnotized. You know, I start counting them and going, oh, you know, don't do that. So there are places where you need to stay awake. All right. Praise God. The question is, how often? Well, in Genesis 3 and 8, it says, they heard the voice of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Anybody know what the cool of the day is? I found that the day is cool in the morning and it's cool in the evening. It just gives you kind of a reference point. It could be the evening, could be the morning, could be both. Am I going to make a doctrine of this, go to the cross and burn? No. But it does speak about something that is regular, continuous, and often. And that's pretty much where we have to say this thing goes, because it's going to be different for every one of us. Todd Bentley needs 3 hours. I would too if I was on national TV, you know what I mean, and having to deal with all that he does. I mean, I mean, for the most of us, you know, we just have to work it out. But the point of it all is that what are the results? If you have a backup plan, it should be working for you. You should be getting a good night's sleep. You should be going through life stress free. All it's thrown at you, you should be coming above that thing. Now this is our inheritance. I don't know how you're going to get there. You've got to find your own way. I'm just telling you, there's a way. It's a highway that He's made for us. And so many of us, I believe, are living below this. I have people say, I can't come because I'm this and that and the other thing. And I'm not judging them or whatever. But, you know, I believe a lot of the reason why we're sick is because of the stress that we allow to accumulate in our life. And it takes a toll on us. And we just want to rise above that. So I want to encourage you to press in for yourself into that secret place where it just life doesn't faze you anymore. I mean, whew, it's, you know, I'm not saying I've totally arrived, but I'll tell you, it is so much difference these past 3-4 years. Whoa. I mean, this thing has just amazed me. And I thought I had arrived before then. And, you know, maybe God has deeper places in me to discover, in Him to discover yet. I'm sure He does. But, you know, I've reached a place. And I've realized that in order to maintain that, there's a price to be paid, which I willingly do. In fact, I look so forward to that time, you know, because it's like, it usually comes at a time when I just start physically winding down. And I'll go into the presence of God, come out refreshed. It's like, oh, energized. And it's just amazing how it's become a lifestyle for us. And, you know, do you remember the story of Obed-Edom? Sure you do, you know, Bible trivia. Okay, let's see where we find him. He is found in 2 Samuel 6:12. We have a young lady who is an intercessor, and all day long, all she does is she just lifts up her voice to the Lord and plays on her auto harp and sings to the Lord all day long. I said, Deb, that is your ministry. That's what you're called to do. And what she's literally done is turned our home, into a place where the presence of God just is 24 hours a day. And I mean, I just think of it as, I told her, I said, if you ever get married, I'm fixing up the barn, we'll put you up in there, but you just stay there. You know, you're blessing us. You know, you got this worship thing going that just overshadows us, you know. You just walk into the place. And, you know, I mean, it's just a bubble of grace. And I mean, when we first moved into the house, there was warfare after warfare. We just had problems. And now we don't have problems anymore. I mean, we have problems, but we don't have problems. You know what I mean? And it's like this account. Do you have that? And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Obed is a Jewish name, but Edom is a heathen name. So this guy was outside the covenant. But he had a covenant with God. And so the Lord blessed him because he had regard for the presence of God. And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Listen, how would you like to have your house and all that pertains to you blessed? How would you like to have a hedge about your home so thick no demon in hell can get through? You know what I'm saying? The backup plan is worship, is the presence of God, and however it comes, whether it be through prayer, communion, you know, worship, whatever. But it talks about actively pursuing God, you know, in the cool of the day, on a regular basis. That's my backup plan. It's working for me, and I want to encourage you to consider it for yourself. Because, you know, we see this even in the Old Testament, where one person had regard for the presence of God, affected the whole home. And that can spill out into the church and into the community. Praise God. You know, I'm excited about discovering this ministry that these folks are doing with the soldiers. I mean, they are just sending stuff out every single month. And, you know, we could get it out once a year, maybe twice a year at best. So they're just doing a great job. So we're just coming on board. But, you know, most of those people aren't saved. You know, they don't know the Lord. They're just out doing good works. What an opportunity to bring the presence of God into. And how many of you realize it's caught, not taught? You know, it's lived, not lipped. You come in with the glory of God all over you. I'll tell you, yesterday I was at a wedding of our neighbors, and I got the privilege to do this. I mean, these are folks that we've lived with for 21 years, and I didn't know half of them. I mean, that's the kind of neighborhood we have, you know. They're kind of spread out and in the backwoods and whatever, and you never think of going up and saying hi, you know. But this wedding broke the ice. I was called to officiate because we knew the gal. I was a friend of Jessica's, and she was up for the wedding. So God uses Jess to get me into these things. Several years ago, I got involved in a Harley wedding where they came down on two Harleys. She gets me into these gigs where I go out into the world, you know. And but you know, I just get tanked up in the presence of God and just wait for God to do stuff. And I wasn't saying anything about God or carrying on because the guy was really scared about having a preacher do the wedding, you know. I said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And, I said a little bit in there, but It was cool. But afterwards, you know, I was going around talking with people. They were coming to me. And so many people just started bringing up the Lord. They started talking about church and stuff. And I didn't have to work it at all. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beautiful thing about bringing the presence of God into the world. You just come in and you just wait. The Bible says that we give an answer to those that ask. Why is it when Jesus would come in and sit down, he changed the whole spiritual climate of a room? Remember Zacchaeus? He was up on a limb for Christ. And, he was risking his reputation and his standing in the community, which was like at the rock bottom. He was hated by everybody, both Jews and Romans alike. You know, tax collectors, nasty folks, taking everybody. So not liked by anybody. So, you know, he goes out and Jesus walks by and he says, Zacchaeus, word of knowledge, I'm going to come and have lunch with you today. And he's just sitting in the presence of God. And he stands up and he says, listen, I've taken everybody here, so I'm going to establish that they get back fourfold. And I mean, he just starts talking economic ruin because he was in the presence of God and convicted him. We need to let the power of the Holy Ghost do the work of convicting instead of us getting in the way. Then we become the object. I'll tell you, there's so much that's done in the way of Christian evangelism that is no more than human effort. And it's, believe me, I'm the worst one to say this, but I mean, I should have been locked up for the first 6 years after I got saved. I mean, I did so much damage. I just went in there, you know, destroying for Jesus, you know. All these ruined lives, you know. And I'm just learning to go into the presence of God and just, you know, just enjoy and love the people that that God surrounds me with. I just had a wonderful time. We made all these fabulous connections and opportunities. Folks are going to come by, visit us. We're going to go visit them. Now, doors are open. We just go in, fellowship with them. You know what I mean? It's easy. It's so easy. And, you know, all we do is love and allow the Father's love to flow through us. I like this. And let the Holy Spirit do the work of convicting. How many of you were talked in to serving Christ? How many of you were talked into it? You know, not a single hand. Some of you are asleep. It's okay. It's rest. No. Yeah. See what I'm saying? I mean, somebody came and convinced you through words. I mean, how many of you like to be told that you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you've offended a holy God, you've broken all the rules, and you don't deserve His righteousness? And by the way, God loves you with an everlasting love. And wants, yeah, I mean, you know, is there an inconsistency here? I mean, I had to have a revelation. I had people after people shove it down my throat. You know what I mean? Just come. And, you know, I had all these encounters. And I was a tough nut to crack, and I thank God for their enthusiasm. But it sure didn't, you know, it just kind of pushed me away. But when God spoke to me through His Word, by the power of the Spirit, because somebody was praying for me. And that night I had a personal encounter with the living God that has stayed with me to this day. Whoa. That speaks to me. That speaks to me that God can get to me without anybody else being in the room. Imagine that. God can get through if people just learn how to rest and commune with God. I think God's been at it for a while. I think He knows the problems out there in the way. Do you know Muslims are getting saved by the hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe millions? I don't know. And you know what's happening? He's showing up in villages, in dreams. You know, folks are just getting awakened in the night and having visitations of the living God. I'll tell you, you're not going to convince a Muslim to change his whole belief system because it'll cost him his life. You're not going to talk him into anything. He better have an encounter with God. And folks are realizing that just by getting in the presence of God and praying, God just is able and well to build His kingdom. And I'm just finding that this thing is easier than we make it out to be. It's all about resting in God. Now, since I hit 50, that really appeals to me. You know? I mean, it's just part of the quality of life thing. And just getting into it, I can do this. And there's value in that. That's my backup plan. And if it stops working, I just give it a little bit of a tweak. And most of the time, the Lord tweaks it for me. He'll wake me up in the middle of the night and say, "Hi, I'm lonely. Missed you today." Yeah, Lisa, you have that experience too? Does He do that to you? Just wakes you up and says, "Hi, I was lonely. Want to talk with you?" Lord, it's 4:00 in the morning. Yeah, I know. Okay. You'll be all right. I'm in charge of that. And we'll commune, and, you know, there won't be any blinding revelation. We'll just, you know, rest in God, and we'll fall asleep generally, you know, and come back. But I just see that as, oh, man, this is important to Him. It was important to Him to meet with Adam. You know? Even though Adam messed up, it still was important to Him. It's important that we... And it's my backup plan. I hope it's yours. So today, I want to pray for you if you're struggling in this area of sleep deprivation, or if you're struggling with your mind just going and going and going through the prayer, the worship process. You know, you try to get into the presence of God and the details of life just kind of overwhelm you. I found that the way the Lord ministers to me is through the details. It's amazing. I mean, He's a God who's in connection with the real world. And so, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, well, I should be thinking about the homeless in India. And, you know, the Lord says, no, that back screen, the porch needs to be fixed. And, you know, this is how you do it. And an idea will come on how to do it. Because I always get into projects that I don't know what to do. And I'm in the middle of it, and it's like, I'm in too deep to go back. Now what do? And I just have a session, and it just comes, you know. So this is where I'm at in the real world with a real God who talks to me about real things. And it's all in the place of worship, and it just comes. You know, so naturally, it goes through the day. It's just a place of immunity throughout the day. It's just fueled by a little tweaking in the morning, the afternoon, and then it just flows out of that byproduct. You find your own way. You know, some of you might have to do it on the fly. And there was a time in my life where I had to do it on the fly. I'm at a stage of life right now where I can take the time and just go away into a secret place and touch the secret place. And just have that time with Him. Okay, it's okay. It's just part of my life now. But you find your own way. Because there was a time where I couldn't do that. You hear me? And I'm not trying to put on condemnation or whatever. This thing is not a work thing. It's just a backup plan. And you find what works for you. But, you know, if you're just finding that you're living below that, I want to give it a boost today. I want to just sort of pray over you, a blessing that will release you into a personal encounter with God and a journey that will bring you into a place of immunity for yourself. And, you know, what I have, I give. I can release it to you. And I want to do that. So that'll be part of it. If you're experiencing sickness in your bodies, whatever, you know, whatever it is, financial crisis, whatever, you know, or you want to stand in for somebody else, let's just take time to minister. And we're going to do this as a body, okay? All right, you're all ministers of God, and I want you all to come down, as many as you would like to anyway. If you want to sit back there and worship the Lord, establish your presence, I'm going to release you in just a minute to go home if you want. And that's sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do. So you just do what you got to do. But if there's some prayer needs, we would like to agree with you and release the blessing of God, take you into His inheritance. Amen? Is that right? That's good. All right. Let's just bow our hearts. Father, I just thank You that there is a place of immunity from the storms of life, that it's a reality that You have made for us. Father, where there's gravity, there's also the law of aerodynamics that causes us to lift above what would be a normal circumstance. You have an antidote to the crises of life. We want to go there. We want to be in that place continuously. And Father, our cry out to you is for a good night's sleep, for a freedom from stress and the pressures of life, that even though they'll be there, they won't impact us and affect us like they are now. So Lord, we just look to you to take us into that place that you promised for every believer. Father, we want our inheritance. And we can claim it because a death has already taken place. On the cross, you purchased for us this peace that passes understanding, this rest, this communion, because the vent was rent from the top to the bottom. You initiated this. It's open heaven. And Lord, we want to experience that for ourselves and for our families and for this church and for this community and those whom we will come in contact with. So Lord, anoint us with the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Lord, bring us into that yoke that is easy and that burden that's light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.